You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
Welcome back to the programme. If you are sick of plastic, and our environment certainly is, and if you're fed up with bursting bins of refuse, then listen up. Because beginning tonight and running over the next few weeks, Ennis Tidy Towns are hosting a number of free workshops on achieving a zero waste lifestyle. Phelan Harty will be speaking at these. He's an environmental campaigner. Phelan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Evan.
And thank you very much for joining us in the programme. Zero waste, is that really possible?
Well, it's something we can certainly aspire to. It's actually remarkably difficult to achieve zero waste given the amount of plastic that there is around everything we buy, but it's certainly something that we can work towards. And it's something that a lot of, even shops and supermarkets are beginning to see that that change is necessary. So it's becoming easier and easier. But I think it really needs to come from the people, you know, from all of us, really, buying the stuff that we buy and really trying hard to find the things that aren't wrapped in plastic for a start.
So in other words,
things that aren't made from plastic.
If we're going into shops and the stuff wrapped in plastic is left on the shelves and the loose bits that have been picked up, we might be sending a message to the supermarkets and everybody else.
Well, not even that. It's more to look for the products that already come without plastic. Like, if you're going looking for bananas, there's absolutely no reason in the wide earthly world why you need to get bananas that come in a plastic bag. Mm. They're perfectly well wrapped as it is. So that's just taking one tiny example. But there's lots of examples right across the range of products and foods that you can buy that simply don't come in plastic in the first place. And it's to begin to look for those.
But until you get this big change at a top level, i.e. until there is a significant change in our shops and in our local supermarkets, it's going to be very difficult for us at home to cut down on our waste. If you have to buy something and it comes in plastic, well then, unfortunately, is it not a case of so be it?
Well, there's chicken and egg there, because the shops and the governments and the like, they actually won't make the changes until they see that there's a demand for the different thing. Do you know what I mean? Because that doesn't tend to happen. But because plastic is extremely convenient for them, so they'll use it for as long as they can, really. But the price that we're paying for plastics is too high. So we really need to be careful to look for the things that don't come. And we can buy them. You know, it's actually remarkably easy to take steps to move towards a zero waste lifestyle. But the price we're paying at the moment is too high. If you think about plastics in the oceans, they're a huge, huge problem. You know, major threats to biodiversity in the oceans, simply because birds are finding bits of plastic, feeding them their chicks, and the chicks starve with full stomachs. And the same is actually happening with other marine life as well. So it's not just the bird life. And even on the tiny scale, microplastics, when we wash synthetic clothing particularly, thousands and thousands of tiny bits of plastic come loose from the clothing and get washed down the drains, and those all end up in the sea as well, and they get eaten by tiny microscopic, you know, even zooplankton have been found with plastics in them. So that's plastics being introduced at the very, very foundation of the food chain, which has, you know, scary ramifications for all of the food that we eat. So that's a very, very high price to pay. And moving on from that again, plastics are made out of oil and gas, and it's wonderful that we've banned fracking in Ireland, you know, in the mainland of Ireland, but the LNG terminal that's due to go into the Shannon Estuary, if that goes ahead, my sincere hope is that it won't, that's due to take fracked gas from the Gulf of Mexico. So there's communities in the Gulf of Mexico region who'd be really decimated. I mean, you know well that the issues with fracking, because I know you've spoken about it a lot on Clare FM already. Yeah, so that's one issue where we'll be importing fracked gas. And one of the things that we'll be doing with that is piping it across to Scotland in the existing pipe network for use for making plastics. And we really don't need plastic cutlery or plastic flowers or plastic plates and cups. You know, there's lots and lots of disposable plastics that are completely unnecessary. And that's a very, very high price that we're paying for those plastics.
Is focusing on plastics also in the main the way of cutting down on our waste? Is that where we can make the biggest improvements in our own day-to-day lives?
It is. It's one of the most visible ones. It's the easiest one. You know, there's every piece of plastic that's ever been made either still exists or it's been burnt. And burning it isn't safe. You know, there's the potential for toxic chemicals being produced. But the sheer volume of waste that we see in the world today is due to the manufacture of plastic for the most part. Now, there's other issues with other items. One of the consumerism generally is very, very energy intensive, and that might be nothing to do with plastic at all, and very water intensive, and, you know, there's a lot of transport involved, a lot of processing involved. So there's other areas in our life where we need to take care as well. But plastic is the easiest one to address. It's the most visible. And it, you know, between climate change and wars over oil and all sorts of things that go into plastic, there's just so many reasons to avoid it. And it's actually, once you start looking, it's remarkably easy to do so.
Is it? Is it really that easy?
It is. It is.
Give us some examples.
Yeah. Well, the bananas are an easy one because the bananas are already
of course,
You know, oranges and apples, likewise. You know, they don't need to come in a plastic bag. It's very easy to buy fruit and vegetables. Basically, if you shop in a supermarket, it's going to be very difficult to come out at the end of the shopping without plastic. Whereas if you go down and you shop in the local farmer's market in Rosslevin, it's much, much, much easier to do that shopping without plastic at the end of it. Or if there are some fruit and veg wrapped in plastic, you can take the produce out, you can give it back to the trader, and they'll be perfectly happy to wrap it again, to use it again for the next item of lettuce or cabbage or whatever, because, you know, it's come out clean, it's on their desk already, you're dealing with the trader directly. It's not like a supply chain where you need to get the products right back to the original supplier again, like in the supermarket. Mm. So it's remarkably easy to do that. You know, to just change something simple in your shopping habits by going to a different place. And inevitably, it's better for your health, it's better for biodiversity, it's better for marine life, for climate. Do you know?
And you're right, there are improvements, and you're definitely speaking to an issue where I feel the general public is really engaging with it, and we've seen a number of movements in communities, particularly along the county's coast, to try and address this, and that's fantastic. When we see what's happening in the sea, there's no doubt but that action is required. But if we focus solely on food waste, then we're going to miss other areas. You talked yourself about microplastics coming out of synthetic clothes, that's also coming out of wet wipes, for example, which I know is an issue people are aware of.
That's right.
But you know, you can do everything on food, but you can still generate a lot of waste.
You can. That's very true. And so it's not just in the food area. Do bear in mind, though, that when it comes to climate change, food waste is the third largest global contributor to climate change. You know, there's about 40% of all food it's a US statistic, is wasted. You know, because carrots are knobbly or something that daft, you know. So there's huge infrastructural changes that need to take place at a wider national level as well. But when it comes to the individual, if you just buy in the farmer's market, you can be damn sure that the farmers, that the growers there won't be throwing out carrots because they're a bit knobbly. You know, they're going to be using everything that they can use. So that's one way to cut out food waste in the wider supply chain, by buying direct from a producer. Now, on the wider level, moving away from food, if you buy a pair of jeans that are cotton, then that's a much lower plastic waste issue than if you buy a pair of trousers that have elastane or nylon or other microfibers within them, because those artificial fibers, those are the ones that cause a problem for the microfiber, the microplastics issue in the sea. And when you're buying cosmetics, for example, and cleaners, it's important to avoid the cleaners with microbeads.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not that difficult to do that. If you shop in a health food shop, for example, for your shampoos and soaps, generally those ones are going to be much, much safer ingredients for the environment, but they're also going to be much safer ingredients to put on your skin. Because your skin, for all it looks solid, it's a very, very porous membrane. And it takes in the chemicals that are in the cleaning products, whether it's washing stuff around the house or whether it's putting stuff directly on your skin to clean yourself.
I don't want to call it work to do this, so I won't. But it does sound like it would take a conscious effort, shall we say, on a continual basis.
It does. It does. And it's, do you know what? We find it kind of fun. Since my wife and I have been together for about 20 years, we've actually never had a bin collection because we haven't needed it. And we treat it kind of like a game. Do you know, so we look at ways to, we look at what's in the waste bin, if you like, and we ask ourselves, well, how can we reduce that? How can we cut that down? How can we eliminate it and rule it out? And we've actually never needed to have a weekly bin collection at all in the 20 years that we've been
together. So what do you do with the rubbish that you have to throw out?
We actually bring it to Aena.
Okay.
And the price that we pay for getting into Aena, it's only €7 a bag, do you know, to go into Aena and to have it disposed of.
And how often, roughly, would you make a trip, if you don't mind me asking?
About once every 6 months, I'd imagine.
Oh, wow.
And that would be that's for more than one bag. You know, what
Fair enough.
Is we fill up a wheelie bin, and when the wheelie bin is full, we go out to Aena, and it might be 6 months, might be four, probably six, you know, and then we'd have a decent-sized boot full of recyclables as well to go with that.
Okay.
So that's the €4 for the recyclables and the €7 per bag. There's usually three bags.
And I would I do wonder if the financial motivation is not the way to get people to change. If you can convince, and if the marketing, not just you, but if in general the message is save yourself, for your example, hundreds of euros a year, compared to what some others are doing, then why not do it, you know?
Well, I was talking to somebody recently and they were saying that their bin collection was 450 euros per year and we'd probably pay 45. So that's a 90% reduction in our waste costs. But it's not just the waste cost either, because if you look at the price of plastic, you're actually paying for plastic twice, because you're paying it once to buy it in the supermarket, because it's not free. You know, it comes at a cost to the producer. So you're ultimately paying for that. So given that that product is still cheaper than the one that we might buy in the local market, potentially, you're paying in terms of the quality of the product that you buy. Does that make sense to you at all?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I understand.
So when you don't have the plastic, you're actually getting a much higher product at the end of the day for the same, you know, for the same euro that you spend. So you're saving once when you buy the plastic, and then you're saving again because you don't have to get rid of it again.
The events take place tonight, but also each of the next two Monday evenings as well. They all take place at Waterpark House on the Drumbingle Road here in Ennis, getting underway at 6:45. And anyone who's interested in following suit, Phelim, it's those people in particular that you would like to attend, I'm sure.
And it is exactly. And do you mind if I leave you with a couple of brief thoughts on it?
Go for it.
Just for people who are listening in who won't be able to make it tonight, first thing is just look in your bin and see what's there. See what's the bulkiest thing and see if you can find ways to eliminate that source. And keep the recycling bin in mind as well, because actually recycling, as we're currently practicing it, it's not really the solution, because there's too much energy goes into recycling at the moment. So we really need to keep the amount of recycling down as well. What we need to do is stop buying at source. So be really, really mindful when shopping and see how you go, just for a week or for a month, and see, can you cut the waste that you buy, that you bring into the house, way, way down, whether it's around food or around clothing or electronic items or anything like that, and really be vigilant when shopping.
Okay.
And composting is the other thing, but I think I don't know if you have time for a bucket of composting today.
It's
another whole issue to be looking at.
Another time, perhaps. Phelim, thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That event taking place, the first of three of them, from 6:45 this evening at Waterpark House. That is Phelim Harty. Trudy was in touch on this. The only organic bananas are fair trade. They come in plastic. That's ironic, to say the least. Most of the comments, at least in the texts this morning, have related to dog felling. People are still letting their dogs out late at night and early in the morning in the hope that nobody would see them. It's just sick to have to walk our footpaths, is a texter. I don't know where that person is. What can be done about dogs coming in around your house and your backyard, pooing wherever they like? When you are at work, talk to neighbours. Said it's not our dogs, but every day when going to work, their dogs are out on the road loose. I myself don't have a dog. And Derek is in Shannon, and he was asking a question as to how people are spotted. I believe, Derek, and I think this is what you suspect as well, that in effect, you have to be spotted allowing your dog make a mess on the ground and walking away from it before you can be fined. But he was asking if members of the public who witnessed this behaviour can give evidence to secure a fine for irresponsible owners. I'll ask that of Frankie Coote on tomorrow's programme. We'll find out a little more about one of Clare's greatest ever people when we're back shortly.
You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 midday.